It's Wednesday, March 31st, 2021. I'm Tanya Harris, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. The New York Times revealed late yesterday that Florida Congressman and Trump's biggest defender, Matt Gaetz, has been under a federal investigation since December into whether he was involved in a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl. This shouldn't hurt him with the MAGA crowd, however, unless the girl wasn't related to him at the time. Two Capitol Police injured during the January 6th attack are suing former President Donald Trump for inciting the crowd. That might seem bad, but no worries. Trump is countersuing the officers for harassing his guests. After Volkswagen of America announced that it was changing its name to Volkswagen earlier this week, they revealed that it was a joke yesterday. This answer still won't help liberals who don't care what VW goes by, just as long as they define their pronouns first. The British Prime Minister's office doesn't see the need for Black Lives Matter protests because they say the UK is a model of racial equality, which of course is true. Just look at how well the Brits handled Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's marriage. I forget I mentioned that. The White House press pool reports that one of Biden's dogs pooped on the floor in front of the diplomatic room at the White House today. Within minutes, a spokesperson for the dogs claimed that it was actually left there on January the 6th. A new brain disease has been discovered in some California black bears, which makes them unafraid of humans. Although scientists have not yet identified the cause of the disease, they have named it Yogi Bearism. 80s hair metal star Dee Snider from Twisted Sister and his family will be on an upcoming episode of Celebrity Family Feud. Finally, after nearly 40 years, we'll get to see just how twisted his sister actually is. Researchers at the cosmetic surgery group Longvita have declared Prince William the world's sexiest bald man. This might seem impressive until you realize that every other bald guy tied for second. After scoring a $120 million opening weekend internationally, U.S. box office watchers are hoping that Godzilla vs. Kong, which opens in the U.S. today, will help revive movie theater businesses. Well, looking back at the last 4 years, I'm not so sure that we Americans are all that interested in watching a different set of monsters destroy everything they touch. The director of Godzilla vs. Kong, Adam Wingard, is set to direct the big screen adaptation of the Thundercats cartoon from the 80s. Gee, you would think that this might be a bad idea considering the last time we got cats on a big screen. Hey Adam, three words. No CGI bottoms. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Oh, and actually, before we start, I just realized it's March 31st, which is Cesar Chavez Day. So today we commemorate him, and thank you to President Obama, who I believe in 2014 proclaimed it as the U.S. federal commemorative holiday. So good. Thank you, President Obama. I love you. Okay, let's go around and say hello now. Peter, start with you.
I just want to say that all you people that talk bad about Amazon and put bad things about Amazon on your social media, stop. Because if you're nice to them, for some bizarre reason, they'll send you things that you didn't buy, like lav mics, which I got two.
Those are a cry for help from someone inside the warehouse, Pete.
They sent me two sets of lav mics today, and I didn't buy them. So thank you, Amazon, you evil bastards.
There's somebody's a note inside those that says, please send help. I haven't
No, somebody in the warehouse has been listening to the podcast. It's like, those guys need better mics.
And it's actually not the first gift that Amazon has sent.
They send these gifts all the time.
Yeah. Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts. And besides being Cesar Chavez Day, which, by the way, President Biden has his bust in the Oval Office, not Victor Chavez, Cesar Chavez. Let's get that straight. It's also a very wonderful National Crayon Day. What is everyone's favorite crayon? Mine is burnt umber.
Mine is burnt sienna.
Burnt flower blue.
Burnt sienna.
Periwinkle.
All right. That was great. Also, by the way, it's also National Clams on the Half Shell Day, but I figure more people eat crayons than they do clams on the half shell, so I put crayons on.
Wait,
my favorite clam is Kim Kardashian.
Oh, there's way better clams than that, Peter.
That'd be nasty.
Can I tell a really quick crayon story?
Sure.
Really
quick.
Cool. So when I was a kindergarten teacher, I had a student who was reading like way above his level. And he would like, you know, sit there and instead of saying, oh, pass me the red crayon, pass me the green crayon with the kids, he was actually reading, you know, oh, can you pass me ocean blue? Can you pass me burnt sienna? And I was so impressed with his reading. So one day I started grabbing a bunch of crayons and I said, okay, I'll say his name. I'm like, Alberto, can you read this one for me? And he was reading it for me. And then I was like, can you read this one for me? You know, so he kept reading. And there was one from like one of those generic boxes of crayons. And I said, Alberto, can you read this one? And he says, that's non-toxic China. Love that story. So I love that.
And we found out last year that's not true.
The moral of the story, that kid could damn read.
Yeah, Phil said we should put the crayon sketch online.
I was going to say this crayon.
Oh, you know what? That's a great sketch.
It's Hayes' birthday, right?
It is his birthday.
Happy birthday, our favorite crayon.
During the show, I'll see if I can dig it up and we'll maybe end the show with it.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Elizabeth.
Hi. It's don't do any fucking April Fool's bullshit tomorrow.
Is that the day?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
The stupidest thing on earth.
Stupidest fucking holiday.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I agree.
Don't trust a damn thing on the internet. especially if it's from like any brand that's like, look, I keep seeing emails at work. I don't think this is out of pocket, so I don't care. Velveeta has a skincare line. And every time it's going around, I was like, what? And it's like, yeah, it's been released on March 31st and April 1st. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Volkswagen tried to do a whole week's thing, but everyone actually believed it. So they had to like say today, no, it's not true. They were supposed to say it tomorrow. But all the news broadcasts were taking on that they were actually going to change their name to Volkswagen when it was an April Fool's joke. And I'm like, come on, you guys. You know, it's like, you know what week it is. What the hell are you doing? So that just shows you what's going on in the world.
Hey, Danny.
By the way, we don't need April Fool's jokes anyway because all of last year was a big, giant joke.
Yeah.
So please,
exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Danny.
Hello, everybody. Today's also 26 years that Selena's life was tragically cut. You know, so I've been listening to her all day. Great music.
That's true.
An artist taken too soon.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember that was the night of our Powder Puff game in high school, and I couldn't go to the game because I was that distraught. Like, I was so upset about it. Yeah.
I was actually getting a haircut, and some lady walked in, like, you know, in Spanish, did you hear what happened to Selena? It was like, what happened? You know, and everybody just kind of like froze.
Yeah. Yeah. March 31st. Wow.
That's really interesting because when somebody said that to me, I said, who? But that's me because I came from a different culture. So I didn't know. So I mean, that's
it was a big deal for us.
Yes. and for Jennifer Lopez, look how well it did for her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, real fast. When I was a kid, we watched the movie at a sleepover, and we didn't, because we're from the Midwest, we didn't really know who she was. So we're like, her life is going so good. What a great time. She's got the husband now. Things are going to go great. Oh, my. Bunch of seventh graders in absolute tears.
Spoiler alert.
So you didn't know how this was ending?
We had no clue how it was going to end.
Pete, she grew up in Michigan. You think we were asking you about Felina?
I mean, tell you, if it wasn't for Howard Stern getting in trouble about talking about it while playing gunshots in the background, I probably wouldn't have known who she was either. I was from New York, so.
Yeah, so took a while for her to get to Michigan.
Yeah. She's just getting there now, right?
Kind of.
We'll just call it Como la Flor Day.
Heck, there are people in Montana that are listening to us right now going, holy shit, Selena's dead?
Well, Selena, and why'd she go?
Oh no, Selena Gomez! What happened? Selena Gomez.
So, Tanya, look at, wait, hold on, Danny. See, look what you did. You tried to say something kind of poignant, and you got it all fucked up.
I did. Y'all did.
Daddy knows now what he gets with us. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You haven't learned yet, have you, Danny?
Dreaming of you.
No. And Tanya, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well, although reminiscing on about a lot. As somebody that's worked in elementary school, I can attest to the fact of more crayons being eaten than clams. And as someone who is from Texas, yes, Selena's death was very poignant. I remember someone, we had a talent show in high school and we had a moment of silence for her, and two of our students actually performed one of her songs. So, yeah.
That's nice. I hope that we here on this show get so popular that somebody airbrushes all of us on the hood of their car.
Hey, anything for Selena's, man.
Anything for Selena's. Okay, so let's start with tonight's show. There's a lot going on in the news, so let's start tonight's show with just one question, in which I ask you a question about one of our main topics from the opening. Yesterday, the New York Times revealed that the Justice Department has been investigating loudmouth Trump-supporting Congressman Matt Gaetz since December for allegedly being in a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl. My question to you is, isn't it great when unlikable people get themselves into bad situations? I'm going to start. Yes, it is. Elizabeth.
What does this mean for Nestor? His son, with big old air quotes around son. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not trying to be homophobic, but there's some questionable stuff there. Mm-hmm. And I was just a little surprised that it was just a girl.
I'm just gonna say that.
Okay. Well, I mean, to me, this is the greatest story of the year so far. I mean, this tops the vaccine, everything else. Not because not because it's the better story, but it's like the story since it broke yesterday afternoon has gotten better and better, like all day now. I don't know if anybody else has been watching this, but I've been very intent on
trying to keep up. Weird twists, right?
Yeah, it's great. Well, first, you know it's bad when he goes on Tucker Carlson's show last night to explain what happens, and as soon as he leaves the air, Tucker Carlson goes, "Well, that was one of the more bizarre interviews I've ever done." So you know that's a bad sign.
Tucker Carlson's calling you weird. Hopefully.
But yeah,
you're fucked. Yeah.
What makes this story so great is that they've been probing him, which they will in prison as well. They've been doing this since the beginning of December, and twice while William Barr was still the Attorney General, it was brought to his attention to see if he felt that there was enough evidence to continue the case. And both times Barr looked at the evidence and said, "Yeah, go ahead, keep going." And this is one of Trump's boys.
That's one of his guys.
Yeah. So what does he do to try to get himself out of it? He goes on Tucker Carlson's show and basically rats out another investigation that the FBI is doing against a guy that he's friends with who is actually under indictment for sex trafficking. And also he brought him to the White House, just so we all know like how that works out. So he basically outed the FBI and they're really angry right now because they were doing all kinds of like covert stuff and they were speaking to all these people, and he basically went on TV and told everybody that so that he could divert attention from himself. So now the FBI is pretty pissed off. So I'm pretty sure they're going to help out a little bit with this case too. And the story gets worse and worse because he's now changed the story two or three times this was extortion against him. There is no 17-year-old girl. I date a lot of women and I take them places, but none of them are underage. To now, he's just not saying anything. So it's just, but he'll never quit.
Typical Matt Gaetz, though, isn't that so typical of him?
Well, this is the same asshole who wore a fucking gas mask on the floor of Congress because he wanted to protest wearing masks at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, and he's from the state that had 40,000 deaths. So let's put it into context.
Does this mean that he's actually part of the pedophile cabal now?
Well, he will be. Yeah, isn't that weird?
Or like, how does that work?
Hey, on whatever imaginary future date Q says the inauguration's going to happen, it's all going to go away. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's not surprising, though, because, I mean, that is so typical of, I mean, he's always, like, the first, one of the first ones to run their, you know, his mouth, along with Ted Cruz. It's like the Bobbsey twins, you know, if it's not one of them, it's the other one. And now all this is coming out, I'm like, hmm. And the fact that he's probably going to incriminate himself, like you said, because of he did that interview, that's, I'm not shocked at all. I mean, he's really surprised.
Do you think he threw his friend under the bus so that his friend might end up with a Jeffrey Epstein suicide?
No, he threw his friend under the bus because he thought it would be like, look over here when everything's going on over there. But what's great is that he can't get away from this guy now because it's all over social media, all these pictures he took with him, including pictures with him at the White House. And so it just gets bad. I mean, if this is like this is, you know, when you see someone that's this big an asshole, you think to yourself, you know, it'd be nice if once in a while he had to deal with some shit. This is it, baby, because this is the kind of thing you go to jail and get prison raped for. So. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah, my mom always taught me not to wish harm on people, and I usually don't. But
you don't have to wish them well either.
Oh. You know what? Oh well, I don't feel bad for you at all, and I might smirk a little bit. So there, I said it.
I don't wish you ill, but I don't wish you well either.
You said it. You read my mind, Elizabeth.
Sorry, Matt.
That's what I said about the Trump when he got COVID. I don't wish him ill, but I don't have to wish him well either.
Exactly. I wished him ill. I told that night. That night, I mean, between me and Philip, we had to be 120 jokes.
We did read them all, didn't we? Eventually,
yeah, we did. Wow. We did read them all. But we were trying to be adults about it, so we didn't read it the day after. We waited till Monday when he was swell.
Paper didn't die or anything. You know, whatever.
That was the adult decision.
So speaking of Trump and unlikable people, he's being sued by two Capitol police officers for inciting the January 6th riots. My question is, within a month, what will there be more of? People who watch Trump on the final season of The Apprentice or people suing Trump for causing the Capitol riots?
Pete. Well, I mean, you got to think about it this way. There's two officers now suing him. There's got to be at least another two or three dozen more that are probably going to sue him, if not even more than that. Remember, there was like when it was all said and done, there I think it was like 600 either municipal or federal officers on the Capitol grounds that day. So you got to figure there's going to be a decent number that are going to sue him for something. And then the better lawsuits are going to be all the people that stormed the Capitol who are going to sue him because they're going to say, we did run in there because of you. Yeah. And look at us now. So he's going to get sued. Plus he's getting sued by people in Congress. Yeah. I mean, look, I know a lot of people are sitting around saying, oh, you know, he's never going to get like thrown in jail or anything like that. You don't have to throw him in jail. The best thing in the world you could do to Trump is take all his money. And this is the best way to take all his money. I mean, people really think that somebody like Al Capone never got justice, but you know, like they never got justice for Al Capone because all they got him was tax evasion. But he died in jail. So if you never put Trump in jail, but you basically make it so that he can never make another dollar, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, get it, you know, and tax evasion, that's Capone wanted money and you got him on the money thing and threw his ass in jail. Yeah, I mean, something has got to go through, I would imagine, with this many people suing him, not just from the Capitol stuff, but from other things in general. Right? Like, I'm no legal expert by any stretch, but...
Well, they said...
How many lawsuits before one of them sticks?
Well, according to, like, a report out of Georgia, out of one of the Georgia newspapers, they said that they think that the district attorney in Atlanta already has two grand juries in session, which usually means... Because apparently she sent out subpoenas for evidence for two grand jury cases and neither of them were marked, which usually means it's a high profile case. And that happens to be the highest profile case that she was working on. So they think that that Georgia might indict Trump before the rest of the other places that are all looking to indict him. So yeah, that's just a whole nother thing. It's fun.
Go ahead,
Joe.
Trump has a history. It's, you know, we always talk about this, but he has a history from all those years of when they would build his hotels or whatnot and all that. And he wouldn't pay the people that did the work on him because he'd say it was shot or something like that. And they try to take him to court, and he would just wait him out and have the money to keep going. But the whole thing is, how many lawsuits on top of lawsuits on top of lawsuits happens before you either run out of money or lawyers that want to do all that work and all that? And as far as tax evasion goes, New York's already taken care of that. So yeah, George's got some stuff in New York. He's got two states, district attorneys, you know, on him as well.
And attorney general in New York.
Attorney general, yeah. So, I mean, that's it's kind of crazy. But like you said, you know, it's two now. What happens when it's 600? Can you avoid that? Like, you know, like most of the time he had like 8 or 10 at a time, and he just weighed them out because he knew they would run out of money. But I don't think you'd be able to. I don't think that strategy is going to work now, which is why on his website you can have him do greetings for you, wish people a happy birthday. You know, all
he's the cameo of presidents.
If you make there's even one in there. If you make Eagle Scout, you should go through. You got to go through the different like things that he will do a greeting for, because it's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Eagle, like cameo, he's actually doing like cameo.
Yeah, he's doing
on his site. Yes, he's doing cameo on his site. But like what he does it for is absolutely. Hold on, I'm going to pull this up real quick because I want to read these. Can we got a second?
Please do.
Yeah, please do. That's hilarious. Because I've used Cameo now a couple times to surprise some friends, and it's been really fun. I've hired Greg Proops and Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway for two different friends' birthday things. And man, the level of like delight when they don't see it, like when your friend doesn't know it's coming, best money you could ever spend. And unfortunately, Dick Van Dyke is on there, but he's very expensive because he's one of my best friend's like favorite people. And I was like, hey, for your birthday, I wanted to hire Dick Van Dyke, but I do not have $1,000. And she was like, you're not the first person who's told me this.
Okay, so here's what you can have him do a greeting for. Birthday for an adult. Birthday for a child, because you know your six-year-old just wants to get that birthday greeting from Donald Trump. Birthday for a veteran, for a military retirement.
How much is he charging for all these?
Hold on. Let me finish it, because I don't know exactly. I think it varies depending on the thing.
Okay.
Military retirement. Wedding. Wedding anniversary. Condolence. This is Donald Trump. I'm sorry, your grandmother died.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't lose an election, but you lost the grandmother.
new baby, welcome.
No.
Oh God.
Cursed. It's a cursed child.
Graduation. Congratulations.
Well, that's never
going to be forgiven.
Trump has a graduation. So.
Yeah, something that Trump never did. Girl Scout Gold Award and Eagle Scout Award. So all of those things you can
stay
hire
away
him
from the Girl Scouts,
because he's got to make that court money.
No 1 year anniversary for a podcast.
Well, we can put it down as wedding anniversary and see if he'll do it.
And for a couple extra bucks, he'll whack his back on cam with you.
We should pay for condolence and then have the condolence be that he lost the election.
There's a girl on Twitter, actually. Oh, I'm gonna look her up because she's done some great stuff, and so she just did a video of like my wedding was crashed at Mar-a-Lago by Blair Erskine.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to talk about. And didn't he get the microphone? And instead of like,
she's making this all up. She's just acting out. She's like, yeah, he took the microphone and, you know, he did stuff. He hasn't been, he's like, I'm just working some things out that I haven't been able to do on Twitter. And he did 45 minutes. And then when it came to the father daughter dance, it was really beautiful and special. It was nice that he danced with my dad. And then she posted someone, apparently like a Canadian. Police officer was like, that's so cool, he crashed your wedding, like, do you know him well enough to ask for an autograph? And she wrote back, oh sure, do you want it in English or Canadian? He's just really worried about the language barrier. And then the Canadian guy kept going, well, what do you mean it's English? She's like, well, he's not comfortable with Canadian, and so he just needs to know if it's, you want this in English or Canadian. She just kept fucking with the guy for like a bunch of texts. Yeah, she does these like periodically on Twitter, and they're so, so funny. She's really, really good. Really funny comedian.
So on Monday, Volkswagen of America announced that they were changing their name to Volkswagen. Then yesterday they came out and admitted that it was just actually an April Fool's joke. So my question to you tonight is, when car shoppers are out looking for a new car, will they consider a VW since the company has a good sense of humor, or not consider it since the company doesn't know on what day April Fool's lands? Joe.
So first of all, they were supposed to announce that tomorrow, that it was a joke. Like yeah. They put it in Monday and they made it like this was supposed to happen later in the week. And it was like a PR slip. Like they didn't know who was the person that released this stuff. Right. So, but because Volkswagen said there was this PR slip and like, it wasn't supposed to come out and stuff like that, all the news agencies actually jumped on it. Like it was actually going to happen. So when the whole thing is that they're just doing it really, they're just doing a really elaborate version of the joke. And the whole idea is because, you know, they just came out with their first electric car. So they wanted people to know that you can go out there and get a fully electric Volkswagen, which is actually a really nice car. The ID.4 is really nice. But that's what, but so many news organizations jumped on it and ran it as legit that they had to actually come out early and say, no, no, wait, guys, it was an April Fool's joke. So it's not like they didn't know it. It's just that they had this whole kind of week thing planned. And I think it's kind of neat that they wanted to do something so elaborate because everyone's looking for it on the first. Mm-hmm. Obviously, no one was looking for it a couple days before the first.
All the 28. So,
brilliant on their part. All you guys, I saw it right away. I even put on there. So they're going to announce this name on Thursday, aren't they? Thursday. I even put it in my Twitter a few days ago. Nobody caught all these news agencies ran with it. So, hey, they got you. You've been
I think
punked.
It's pretty neat that they have a good sense of humor. Yeah. I like that. Also, I like companies don't take themselves too serious.
Well, they don't take their mission seriously either, but that's a whole different story.
I didn't feel it. When I saw Volkswagen, I thought, oh, is that because people, like most people, don't pronounce like Volkswagen really well, and it kind of comes out like Volkswagen when you're saying it. So like, or are they just changing it to make it life easier? Because I only saw the headline in passing, and I also don't care about cars very much. I was like, oh, okay. And I just moved on with my day. I didn't realize it was going to be an elaborate April Fool thing that backfired in general. So that's what I thought, you know. Like when people say cousin instead of cousin or supposedly instead of supposedly. That was one of those things. And they were just like, fuck it, we're Volkswagen now. Because none of you say it right.
Okay, so moving on. The office of the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, issued a statement today saying that the UK does not need Black Lives Matter protests because the country is a model of racial equality. So my question is, so is Boris Johnson's office saying that everyone in the UK is for racial equality, or just the people of the UK who are not related to Prince Harry? Thoughts?
Tell that to all the colonized folks around the world that England's colonized for years and years and years. Tell that to, Black Lives Matter is larger than just Black Lives. Tell that to Indian or Pakistani people who have lived in the country for years and years and years and are still treated like garbage, even though they're, you know, English born at this point. It's not relevant. You know, it's not relevant where they came from or any of the other hundreds of countries. Boris, I don't think, I think the UK thinks they do better on the surface, but they don't. It's kind of, I think, a little better hidden than it is in America or even Canada. Canada is like, I know we think it's a liberal utopia up there. Talk to anyone who is Indigenous or Native Canadian. It's not great and it's not good and it gets worse and worse. Or it's like, well, it's not great, but you know. Yeah. But Canada's got this like, we're all friendly, eh? Everything's cool, huh? Yeah. If you're liberal and white, but yeah, everybody, I think some places just hide their racism a little better. And so it seems a little nicer, but it's still there.
That's because everyone goes to Toronto and Vancouver and they don't go to like Thunder Bay,
mm-hmm.
where it's huge. Like you can see it right off the bat there.
Yeah.
Pete, and then I'll go to Tanya. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, I mean, when I first saw this story this morning, my first thought was, wow, this is probably not a really good time to be putting this story out, considering it's just like 2 weeks after the whole thing with the royal family. So it kind of seemed like a bad idea. But then I thought for a second, oh, it's Boris Johnson, and he's essentially Trump with pretty much the same hair and an English accent. But what's really interesting, because I really wanted to look into it a little bit, so I went and looked. And last summer, during the same time when so many people in this country were protesting after George Floyd's death, They were having protests there, and the cops there who don't carry guns, they got into it with them. But what I found out, which I really thought was interesting more than anything else, is that I think one of the reasons why they're really defensive is because they George Floyd'd somebody way before George Floyd. In 2012, there was a guy named Sean, I want to say his name is Sean Riggs. He was a 40-year-old light-skinned black man who was suffering from, who had been clinically suffering from schizophrenia for years. Well, cops got called on him because he was acting erratically on the street one day. And so four cops came, and to subdue him, they held him down on the ground for 8 minutes. Essentially the same way they did with George Floyd, and they took him into the police precinct, and he died like a half hour later. He had what they said was a heart condition. And those cops never were brought to justice for it, because they went into court with it, and they basically got a doctor to say, yeah, he had a heart condition. But of course it was brought on by the fact that there was four grown men standing on top of him for 8 minutes. I don't know how much better the UK is. I just think that they're more British about it.
Yeah, they keep it hidden. Like they're having the issue with is it Sarah Everard who was murdered by a cop? Yeah. And yeah, I think we think of them as not as lethal or dangerous because they don't carry guns. But that girl was still murdered. And then it wasn't even really a protest. It was just more of like a memorial thing. But the cops showed up and said, "You can't be here. COVID restrictions." And then they started tearing up the crowd there. And there's like a really dramatic image of them like holding a woman with her arms behind her back that was going around for a while. So yeah, fucking ACAB everywhere. It's international.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's kind of like if anybody says, "Oh, I'm not a racist," that usually means you're a racist. So I think people should just get to the point of not saying I'm not a racist. Because anybody who has to tell you that they're not a racist is probably a racist. Oh. Except me, because I'm not a racist.
Tanya.
I'm going to start by saying I need Boris Johnson to try to sell something else, because ain't nobody buying that. It's easy to say that, yeah, we don't need that. We're past that when you're not black. So there's no way he even knows anybody black, has actually listened or spent a substantial amount of time with anybody black, because he has no clue what is going on, nor has he heard any of the black people or people of color in his country to make such an asinine statement.
You're right.
Yeah. Agree. Joe?
And I like to point out, oh, hell, Boris, y'all don't even like the Irish. And they're the same color. Good Lord, come on, man.
Damn straight.
You treat the Irish
come
like,
out, you fucking
shit.
Black and tan.
So,
get out of here.
Good Lord.
That makes a good point, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on to our final just one question.
Okay.
Scientists have discovered a new disease in California black bears, which makes some of them unafraid of people. Do you think that a percentage of liberal hikers might be rethinking their stance on gun control pretty soon?
Oh, I just was wondering if it was like an evolutionary thing, because they have in many ways become dependent on human food sources. So is it like when they say a disease, do they mean it's like a virus that like messes with the brain? Really?
Yeah,
okay.
It's actually some kind of a thing that's contaminating a percentage of brains in black bears here in California that apparently it nullifies any fear they have of human beings, which is usually the one thing that keeps a human being from, I don't know, being mauled to death by a bear. So,
well, black bears are luckily the least dangerous of the bear family, I think, right?
Well,
until
they're not afraid of you anymore, and then they're like, fuck it, let's go get them.
Yeah. Is that why I saw, well, that was in Kentucky. There was some video I saw of a bear that literally like crawled into a guy's hot tub and was chilling, like, just bring that bear a margarita because it is having a night.
Well, it must have been a black bear because it was Kentucky, and they'll blame anything on somebody black. So, hey. I mean... Yeah.
It wasn't
Kentucky. Okay.
It wasn't Kentucky.
Joe?
So, like, the questions I have about this. So, it makes them unafraid of humans. So, are they seeing us as, like,
other bears.
A food source, or is it like, hey, I want to have a beer with that guy?
Free.
Because like that would be kind of cool, actually. They were unafraid of us, but they were like, hey, you know, this guy's okay, and he's got like a whole pack of Twinkies. Let's chill. Like, that,
are they gonna give us bear hugs?
That brings up a good question. Let's say 50% of them become like really friendly to people, the other 50% become vicious monsters. Now you happen to see one in the forest and he looks just so cute because he's holding like a honey pot. What do you do?
Yeah, but they're that's pretty much living in America right now anyway, isn't it? With just people. They could be a really cool cat or they could be a whole complete monster. You don't know until you start talking to them and they start saying shit like, you know, oh my God, the racist cabal. Oh, okay, dude.
Yeah, so they're like, you get it though, right?
I'm talking to you.
It's too bad the bears aren't on social media, so we can't be sure what they are.
Because I would love it if I was just like, we were all like at like having brunch in West Hollywood. It was me and Danny and Pete and all, and then like a big black bear who's named Dave. And you know, we're all hanging, and it was like, see, now it's like, you know, he may not like you, but Dave's cool with us. So.
No, but Joe, I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're in West Hollywood and a black bear comes up to you, it might be a large black man who's very hairy and gay.
And if they want to have brunch, that's fine. Sit down, have some brunch. I'm cool with that.
They pick up the bill.
We're all going Dutch, guys. No one's paying for everyone's brunch here.
This is why when my cousins ask me to go camping, I say no. The first thing I'll say, is there a cabin? No. Is there running water? No. I'm like, I'm staying home. I need a cabin and I need running water.
I was unemployed a couple years ago and I read Wild, you know, about the woman who walked. Yeah. She didn't even finish the Pacific Crest Trail, just FYI. She didn't actually go as far as it sounds. And even that was arduous. But then I spent at least a month on YouTube watching videos about that kind of extended hiking going, could I? The answer is no. I mean, I could do like a long weekend or like maybe a week of a hike. I could not do 3 months. I do not have it within me to do so. And just because I beat cancer, I'm not going to be doing that. The logistics and the expense alone are the worst part. Forget the like hiking and like the potential danger zones. It's like $1,000 a month, and you're not working. It's ridiculous.
And you got to hope that your guy did the food drops at the locations they were supposed to do, or you're going to go hiking up, and all of a sudden you got no food.
Yeah,
because that's what happens. Is there's these areas or like these? They look like cabins, but they're basically these big like storage buildings.
Yeah,
and you go in and you find your cooler that's got your food in it that had to be dropped, you know, just before. Now, if someone misses that drop, you're now a next 3 days hiking with no food.
Yeah, or if you're in like a town, like it's usually in a town, so you can buy food, but they have to pay through the nose. And also, do you have money on you? It's a whole like. Oh my God! Forget the bears. It's highway robbery to do the damn hike to begin with.
Yeah, most people they don't end it because of food. They end it because of usually foot and ankle injuries is the number one thing.
Oh yeah,
because they're not wearing the proper shoes. Because nobody, you know, they're, oh, this is going to be easy, right?
Just do the Diamond Head.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Danny. Go.
Just do the Diamond Head Trail in Waikiki. You'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know that Veronica and I will never get eaten by bears while camping. Because we watched the show on Discovery Plus called Living Alaska, where they have real estate agents take people to look at houses. Anytime the real estate agent shows them an outhouse, I scream at the screen as if like he's showing me the outhouse. So there's no chance I'm doing anything where I have to use the woods as a bathroom.
Plus, now we know there's fucking Bigfoots out there, and I'm not dealing with that either.
You're not going to go hiking because you end up looking like Ben Stiller in Tropic Thunder, but you'd have two dogs strapped to your front of your chest and a backpack behind you because obviously Veronica's going to be just Norman. So yeah, you're going to have the other two dogs strapped to your chest.
The bears will want to eat the dogs, for sure.
Norman would eat dinner for the bears. Oh,
he'd be an appetizer. He's so little.
Yeah. A little belly on him now. He's gained some weight, so I don't even want to think about that. Okay, let's move on to our main story tonight. But last week, the new Warner Brothers film Godzilla vs. Kong brought in $122 million internationally, making it the first film to make over $100 million in movie theaters in over a year due to the pandemic. Today, the legendary monsters have reached the U.S. box office, so we thought that we might take some time to talk about it and whether this film is going to get movie theaters back on their feet. So first, I know it's only been out for a few hours, but since it's also streaming on HBO Max, have any of you seen it? And if you have not, what have you heard about the film? Let's start with you, Pete.
Well, this afternoon, usually I was telling Joe before we start, usually it takes me till about 3 o'clock to put all the stuff together for tonight's show, for every night show. And for some reason today I got done at like 1:30. So I was like, okay, let me watch this movie because we're going to talk about it. So I did. And just so I can give everybody a reference point of when I say I'm going to the movies in virtual reality, I filmed a little bit of it just so you could kind of get an idea of what it looks like. So I just want to show you guys this real quick.
It's really...
We don't get dinged for those monster
games. No, I just and I obviously when I'm watching the movie I don't go like this the whole time.
Oh, okay, yeah, and you don't probably don't see your little hands.
Right, right. What is it? Blair Witch?
Usually underneath, like to my sides. But no, I watched the movie and I got to tell you, just to preface this, I hated both of the Godzilla movies, and it was funny because I didn't think I saw the second Godzilla movie until I looked at it yesterday for a couple minutes and realized I did see it. So that's how much I liked it the first time because I didn't see it. But I watched the movies, and I on the other hand, I loved Skull Island. I thought Kong Skull Island was great. I watched the movie today, and I could tell you, after 10 minutes when it leaves Skull Island, it's like watching a bad Transformers movie. It's just like all CGI, and some of it's really good, but every character is written like to be just a stereotype of whatever they are. By the way, in case anybody thinks that Hollywood is woke, the two main villains in the movie, one guy's a Mexican, the other guy's Asian. So just so we know.
Who's the Mexican?
Oh, it's Damien Bashir.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
What's great is that clearly when they wrote the character, it wasn't a Mexican man because the guy's name is the whitest name. I forgot what his name is now, but like, so yeah.
Walter Simmons.
Yeah. Walter, what was the last
Simmons.
Name? Simmons. Walter Simmons. Walter Simmons has a really thick Mexican accent, just so you know. But you don't know his life. Yeah, but
I mean, you technically should from watching the movie, but you don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Islam. You're right. But
maybe
it's like
a long time in Mexico.
It's just so, I mean, like you just can't be, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be people that are going to enjoy it because it's just like the monsters fighting. And they do that a couple times during the movie, but it's really, it's terrible. And I got to tell you, whoever tells me that Billy Bobby Brown is a good actor, watch this movie because somebody must have told her that precocious means to be a smartass every chance, every line, because every line that she utters in the movie, it's said with like she's got a scowl on. Like it, they could be saying, "Oh, you look today, really?" Like every moment she's on screen, I hated the movie. I mean, I didn't really like it at all. Just so you know,
I don't even know what she looks like, so I wouldn't even know who she is. Billy
Bobby Brown.
Stranger Things.
I don't watch the
Billy Bobby Brown.
She and I had the same haircut for a while.
A pretty young girl, but they, I don't think they know how to deal with her because they've got her acting as a girl her age. I think what is she, 15?
Yeah.
But every line that comes out of her mouth sounds like a 35-year-old drunken woman who smokes too much.
Like, wait, Godzilla's my best friend. What are you?
Yeah, I mean, that's literally, that's what she sounds like the whole entire movie.
Hey, Elizabeth, have you
seen it? I haven't seen it, but I was looking at some Twitter stuff, and someone I know is like, it's a stupid movie. Like, it's big and dumb. And so I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Because, yeah, I haven't seen Kong Skull Island, but now I might give it a shot based on your recommendation.
Yeah, it's real. That's great.
Because I saw the first Godzilla with Bryan Cranston where they fake you out and you lose Bryan Cranston 20 minutes into the movie, which was really annoying. And I saw that with a friend. He got up and went to the bathroom during like a scene where Godzilla was like in Hawaii fighting, and it was so dark you can't see Godzilla. He went to the bathroom and he came back. He was like, what did I miss? I was like, literally nothing. You could have taken like a monster poop in there and been out for 20 minutes and still missed nothing. Because you barely see Godzilla in that freaking movie. And then I didn't see the second one with where they added Millie Bobby Brown, and it was like, I don't know. I just like Mothra a lot, and I'm kind of rooting for Mothra to show up again.
No, there's no Mothra. Just,
well, fuck. Then I'm not sure.
just trying to give you, I'm giving you a heads up. There's no Mothra.
Well, get the fuck out then.
Hey, Joe.
So I watched Kong Skull Island last night so that I won't miss anything for when we see Godzilla versus Kong. Now, I saw the two Godzilla movies, both of them in the theater. My always, because I'm a big fan of Godzilla from the old, like the old days,
I love
the costume
Godzillas.
Running across a model and stuff like that. And I like that stuff because it's cheesy. And what I want to see is two CGI monsters fighting each other in a city. That's what I want to see. So I think I'm going to be a little bit better than like I want less actors talking. Like what I want is the movie to start. It opens up. It just got Ken Watanabe there going, let them fight.
Let them fight. Yeah, it's the best fight.
Just them tossing, like fighting. That's the movie I want. So
that's the problem. That's not what you're going to get.
Yeah, I know. It's always like we got to add some subplot with humans in it. We don't need humans.
It's just, and the thing is that it's one of those movies that presupposes that everybody accepts this is what the world is. It's like I used to say, you know, occasionally when people would send us sketches, that there was a certain kind of sketch called the Taylor Swift has a unicorn sketch, where if you assume ahead of time that Taylor Swift has a unicorn, then anything else that's going to happen in the sketch will make sense because you've already bought into it like an illogical premise. So this whole movie is one long illogical premise that we all have to accept for the entire hour and 53 minutes.
But here's the thing,
end credit for video.
Since the drive-in movie is really cheap, and I do enjoy it, and I do think that if I'm going to watch two giant CGI monsters fighting, I do want to see it on the big screen. I will be going this week into the drive-in movie, even though I have HBO Max. So
yeah,
I'm going to say that. So since that is kind of the premise of what we've been talking about, is whether it's going to hit the box office. I mean, people that don't have HBO Max might go and see it, but that's how I'm going to go and see it because I still feel safe in my car with my snacks. And by the way, there's a Popeyes along the way to the drive-in, so I can pick up a nice spicy chicken sandwich and eat it while I'm watching the movie.
They had good popcorn at that Mission Tiki, though, I have to say.
What?
They had good popcorn.
Good popcorn. They also have really good, by the way, they actually have really good Mexican food there. They really do. You can get some really kick-ass tacos if you want to eat that and watch I watch Godzilla.
I just might.
Danny, did you want to add something before we move on?
I have it ready on my phone to cast on my TV after this is done.
Oh, I thought you were going to watch it on your phone.
No.
The
screen's pretty big. I have a really good sound system. So, you know, it's not the same, but close enough. You know, Skull Island was a great movie. You don't go into these movies thinking you're going to watch an Academy Award winning performance.
Oh, no.
You know, it's all popcorn fluff, you know. But you know,
but you want to not hate the other character, the human
character, too. You know, but
so that is kind
that's
of
the problem. They figured out how to make it good with Skull Island. They took what was bad about the Godzilla movies and they figured out how to make it good. And again, the first 10 minutes, you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be like this, and then it's not. The whole rest of the movie is the first two Godzilla movies. That's basically it after that.
Well, one of my coworkers came late because he saw it, and I just said thumbs up or thumbs down, and he was like this. So,
well, he must be a fucking idiot. So,
no, he's actually pretty smart, but you know.
Well, you tell him I said he's a fucking idiot.
So this is the fourth film that Warner Brothers is calling the MonsterVerse after the film Godzilla, which made $524,976,069.
Oh, Jesus.
23 cents.
Kong Skull Island made $566,652,812. Godzilla,
cents.
King of the Monsters, made $386,600,138.
Somebody ever explained to Veronica about rounding up.
You know? No, I'm giving the specific amounts because we're all about facts here on TMI Daily. So now, none of those films was considered a blockbuster success, with Kong Skull Island grossing the most with $567 million against a $185 million budget. So considering that, do you think there should be optimism that this film will do better? Either way, why? Tanya?
I do think this film will probably do better, only because as in some places, the world is slowly starting to open up, and those people who have been dying to get back into the movie theater, they don't care what they're going to watch. They're just like, there's a movie, I'm going to the theater, I'm getting my popcorn, I just want to be in the theater. So I think that's going to have a lot to do with it.
Do you guys think that Warner Brothers did a smart thing by releasing it to HBO Max at the same time? And that it's going to be kind of like a business model for all high budget films until the end of this pandemic? What do you think about that, Pete?
Well, I mean, firstly, like a lot of people are going to say, oh, no, it's great that it's doing so well in the overseas box office, and so it'll probably do well here. Until, again, you look at the numbers and you realize that like 75% of the money that they're talking about all came from China. So one market is driving the big box office for the movie. And here, like even the analysts are saying that it probably won't make more than $30 million at the box office because there's just not, A, there's not enough demand for it, and B, there's still too many people that are afraid to go into a movie theater. So HBO and Warner Brothers did a really smart thing doing this. And I think that's what you're going to see more of is like Disney announcing that a couple of their movies are now going to be released day and date on Disney Plus, even though you have to pay the extra fee. There's going to be a lot more of that between now and the end of the year, because there's something like 14 or 15 $100 million plus budgeted films coming out between now and the end of the year. And they're going to start realizing really quickly that there's just not going to be enough people to go see them for a while.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this before, but like the genie is out of the bottle on day and date. If you don't have to go to the theater to see it, maybe you pay a premium on Disney, or, you know, you need to watch it within a certain amount of time on HBO Max. Some people are going to do that to save money, but you also drive up your subscription rate, and in Disney's case, you know, the extra revenue from paying for it. So I don't know how it'll affect box office, but like we said, I'm sure down the line, as more and more people get vaccinated and they can make bigger and bigger spectacles of the actual release, that's, I think, when we'll see. I don't think this is the movie to save the U.S. box office by any stretch. No. But as we get further into the year and they can maybe put on a big premiere, theoretically, you know, that outlets like the ones I've worked for can cover and things like that, that's when I think it'll start to actually improve.
And we're actually going to go through a list of some of the upcoming movies, and I want you guys to tell me which ones you think are actually going to be, or if you think they're going to be the one to put the box office back in shape, or how you think they're going to do. So let me go to Joe, and then I'm going to go down that list. Go ahead, Joe.
I think we're a little too early, just because we haven't had enough people vaccinated, and I think a lot of people are still really, really scared about. I did see some people going to the movies last week to see Nobody, and listen, go see it if you get the chance to. If you feel safe enough to go into the theater or go see it at the drive-in, because that's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. But see, like me, I'm still going to the drive-in, not just because I like the drive-in anyway, but I mean, that's how I'm going to go see my movies until I have my second vaccination and I feel safe and stuff like that I can go in, because I think that's the whole thing. Now, ask again in August or September, yeah. And I think that's going to be a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
See, I think that Joe is partially right, but I also think you have to apply kind of the same model that like I'm thinking of when we talk about theaters, stage theaters, because you're looking at these studios and they've spent in most cases $150 million plus on these movies, and usually the advertisement for the release of these movies is usually half of whatever the budget of the film is. So you figure that if you put $150 million into the movie, you're going to have to put another $75 million into the advertisement to try and get an audience in normal times. So now here comes the producer and the studio, and they're saying, well, you know what? I don't know if I want to spend that other $75 million because I'm still not sure. Because look, Godzilla versus King Kong came out and it only did $30 million in the box office. So maybe what we do is we make a deal for online streaming at the same time as the film coming out, or we make it it's within a 20-day window or something like that. And we don't spend money on the advertisement because the streaming service will be doing all the advertising for us. And I think that kind of thing you might see through the end of this year, and that might precipitate what we're going to see going into next year, because it's the same thing with the theater business. No one is going to go back and produce a big show in a theater until they know that other people are already doing it. So there's got to be somebody who's going to do it first, and they're not going to do it until they're just so certain. So yeah, when we get closer to the end of the year, yeah, like the holiday film releases in December, you know, those movies in late November, December, yeah, they'll probably spend a lot of money to try and get people in the theaters because by then we'll have a good idea. But yeah, I think anything that's coming out between now and the end of July, you just have to assume that they'll get whatever they get, and hopefully they'll get more people because of a streaming service being involved in some way.
And you know that's why Paramount Plus, that's why CBS was rebranded. Oh, yeah. Because that Paramount needs to have that platform too. Yeah. And look for some of their new releases to be going on there as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're saying there's a chance there'll be a TMI live show by Christmas.
No, nah, probably not. But
only if you're all very good boys and girls.
Pete is trying to avoid that shot because he doesn't want to deal with Vanessa's.
Listen, I'm waiting till till whatever horrible sketch show goes first. I was gonna be a dick and name a couple of people's sketch shows that we know, but I said, let me not say that.
I think all of those are done though, Pete. We're the only horrible sketch.
We're outstanding.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this a little bit differently. I was going to have you guys comment on every single one of the upcoming movie releases, but I'm just going to go through the list first. And then at the end, tell me if you think, you know, one of these movies or a couple of the movies are the ones that you think are going to do the best in the box office. So we have May 28th, you have both Cruella and A Quiet Place 2. June 11th, the only one I'm excited about, In the Heights. June 25th, F9, Fast and Furious 9. July 2nd, Top Gun, Maverick. I'm excited about that one, too. July 9th, Black Widow and The Forever Purge. July 16th, Space Jam, A New Legacy and Disney's live-action Cinderella. July 3rd, Jungle Cruise. And August 6th, Suicide Squad. And finally, August 13th, Free Guy. What is Free Guy?
That's with Ryan Reynolds. Where it's like a video game
supposed
thing.
Supposed to be out last year.
Okay. Any of the ones I just mentioned, which ones do you think are going to do the best? And let's want to hear your thoughts real quick. Let's start with you, Joe.
Something that I'm gonna say I think is gonna be an interesting to look at. I'm not necessarily thinking the box office is gonna be, but Black Widow is finally coming out. But Disney's gonna do it the same way, where it's gonna be a premium on Disney Plus and it'll be in the theaters. Now, the previous premium movies we've seen have all been the kind of Disney movies that you can watch with your family. That made that $30 fee not so bad because you're gonna watch it with you and the wife and the kids all together. Mm-hmm. Now, Black Widow comes on, and I'm assuming that they finally decided to do it with the premium thing after seeing how great WandaVision did, how Falcon and the Winter Soldier is doing, and they're like, okay, there's an audience here. But the thing is, that audience is not necessarily a whole family. A lot of those people will be singles, and will they pay the $30 to see it on Disney Plus? Will they wait, or will they go to the theater? And I think that that's a really interesting – I think that that's something we really need to look at. Now, again, granted, it's going to be in July, so maybe a lot of people will be vaccinated and feel safer to go to the theater. I don't know. But that's something I'm really interested in because it's a movie that is not going to be a family movie. That $30 is going to be a lot of money for somebody who, like me, who's by myself, who's going to watch it. That's where I'm like, hey, I might go to the drive-in to see that. Yeah, so that's something that I just wanted to point out. I think that that's going to be a really good test of this.
And it makes sense. Danny.
I just think because there's such a strong following for this movie and its sequels, I think out of all those, the one that's going to probably make the most is the Fast and Furious. You know, there's just such a following, a cult following even, you know, behind it. And I'd go to the movie theater to see that.
I'd be scared for that one in the drive-in though, man. That's going to be.
Yeah. But I'm with you too. I would love to go see it In the Heights as well. But I don't think
that's going to be the one that's going to like put everybody
it's
on.
It's going to be on HBO Max anyway. So
yeah. Fast and Furious, hands down.
Yeah, I forgot about Maverick too. Coming. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think of all of those, I think Fast 9 has a shot. Maybe Black Widow, but it's been delayed so long now, and I don't know if like the hype is there for it. And then all the other ones are things that people are interested in, but not, I think, a large enough segment to make an impact any one way. And like Cruella, I think, is just going straight to Disney Plus. I don't think it's getting a theatrical release now. And I forgot there's another freaking Cinderella coming out, which we've already all seen Cinderella. We got it. I know what happens.
Any of the Cinderella movies. I mean, except for like the original cartoon.
I liked the live action.
Brandy?
No,
the Brandy one's really good, actually.
That one's really good.
It's so good. When it came on Disney Plus, I'm sharing an account with a friend. It came on that weekend, and I was like, hell yeah, impossible. Oh, please. I love it. It is actually really, really good. But yeah, none of those, I think, are going to grab the way a Fast 9 could. So I'd put money on Fast 9.
Okay, and Pete.
Well, I'm going to join the chorus about Fast 9, but I'm going to say for a different reason. Number one, it's the audience that I think is the key, because it's a younger audience. It's an audience that's into cars, which means that you're talking probably to some extent lower educated people, because if you look at like the NASCAR demographic, it's usually lower educated and more rural. And that group is not afraid to go to the movie theaters now as it is. Joe, you don't have to. I'm not making this up. You look at the demographics for NASCAR.
People that watch NASCAR are the ones watching Fast 9. I hate to tell you this. And secondly, car people are stupid. Did you just say car people are stupid?
No, I said a segment of the audience is that group, and that group's not going to be afraid to go to the theater. I'm not saying car people are stupid. That's a dumb statement. I wouldn't say that. What I will say though is the movie that's going to scare the movie industry is going to be A Quiet Place too, because it's got no plans for any streaming anytime now, like with it, like day or date or in the near future. And it's so soon that it'll probably do about 20, 25 million, and it's going to scare the shit out of all the studios. Like, oh my God, this was supposed to be such a big hit and nobody went to see it. And there's going to be a lot of reasons why nobody's going to go to see it. But the biggest reason is it's still part of it during the pandemic. And as big a hit as it wasn't a $1 billion movie. And so it's not one of those movies that people are like, oh my God, I have to see this.
And if you think about the premise for more than 2 seconds, it's dumb.
Yeah, Emily Blunt is now the star of the movie. I mean, because John Krasinski, he's not in the film, he's just directing it. And Emily Blunt, a great actress, but she has no track record of carrying a movie. So that's going to be the one that's going to make a lot of these other movies figure out a streaming platform. You know, because they're going to be like, oh my God, we just lost $100 million on this movie and we don't have anywhere to go with it. And no, again, car people are not stupid.
Peter hasn't watched Sicario either. So watch Sicario, Peter.
I have to add something really quick. A question, actually, I should say. I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, but is Vin Diesel in every single one of them?
No.
Also, he's not going to be in this.
He will be in this.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, Pete. Almost all of my girlfriends will go see it, and they're not NASCAR people because of Vin Diesel. Ugh. So, I mean, it does have a
huge about family.
I see they also live their life a quarter mile at a time.
You know?
Wear a mask and social distance.
A lot of my girlfriends and some of my guy friends, you know, they will go see it because of him. So
I was such a
go see it with your family.
I was such an asshole on the backlot tour ride where you're on the tram and then you go through like the Jurassic Park kind of simulation, then they take you on a fast and furious one with like animated, you know, Vin Diesel and everybody. And I would not stop yelling at the top of my lungs to try to be heard of a thing out screaming, "Are we part of the family now? Does this mean we're in the family?" And my friends were like, "Shut up." And I was like, "Never. We're part of the family now."
Okay, so any
ruined a lot of trips like that.
Do you want to just clarify one more time, or you're good?
Yes, I'm not saying car people are stupid. People who watch NASCAR statistically are. So just they're the biggest percentage of them. Look up the demographic.
Okay. A new study by the cosmetic surgery group Longevida says that Prince William is the world's sexiest bald man. Apparently, the way they did their research was by analyzing the amount of times a famous bald person is searched for with the word sexy online. William came in first with 17.6 million searches. Mike Tyson was second with 8.8 million searches. Jason Statham?
Statham.
Thank you. I don't know who he is. Third with 7.4 million searches. Vladimir Putin, fourth with 2.2 million.
Wasn't fourth.
And Patrick Stewart rounding out the top five.
No, I did this at work. Putin wasn't fourth. He was in the top 10. He and Patrick Stewart were just near the top 10.
Okay, really?
Then the article I read was wrong, so yeah. I apologize.
Your friends must have not voted for
him. No, number four was Pitbull, and then number five was Michael Jordan.
Okay,
so then this is all wrong then. The first three were right then. So, so is Prince William the sexiest bald man? And if not, who is? Elizabeth, let's start with you.
First of all, no. And someone pointed out on Twitter that the way they did the study was literally just checking how many times like sexy and Prince William came up in a search. And so that does not account for when William was younger and Handel's hair and looked cute and pretty. He looked a little more like Diana. Sure. Less like Charles. So someone's theory about how that happened. Also, it's fucking rigged. They're trying to like get back any goodwill they can from the past couple weeks, and it's not working. As far as actually sexy bald man, first of all, right off the bat, we gotta go Stanley Tucci. Make me a cocktail.
Everybody's arguing about Stanley Tucci.
He's so handsome.
There is something there.
His breath is so sharp.
The Rock, who tweeted about this, writing, "What in the cinnamon toast fuck is this?" when Larry David's right there. Which I don't find Larry David like cute that way, but I do know a lot of people who do, who are kind of like, there's something that the curmudgeon and the funny, and it all kind of works for them. There's something about them for people. Who else? I can't even think, but mine was definitely going to be like a Stanley Tucci. Jason Statham is pretty good looking dude. There's like so many more people that could have been on that list, and it's like the fucking fix was in for Prince William, and we just know it's not true.
Okay, Tanya, who do you consider the sexiest bald man?
Okay, definitely not Prince William. I think if this was, you know, they did this by looking for the word sexy and William, it was because everybody was asking, is Prince William sexy? Because the sexiest bald men, you already know that they sexy. You don't have to ask. You don't have to search. How in the world did he come in first when you got Shamar Moore up in these streets walking around bald headed? Boris Kodjo is in these streets walking around bald headed. See, nobody has to ask if they're sexy. We already know. So that's why sexy with those men's names does not compute. We already know they're sexy.
Okay, Joe, sexiest man.
Fuck, it's me. I'm the sexiest fucking bald man in the entire world, on the entire fucking planet. Who the fuck is picking Prince William? Everyone knows it's my sexy ass. Look at these eyes. Look at deep into these eyes. You can't get out of it. It's like looking into a pool of decadence.
You fall into those oceans, baby.
Oh my God, I am the sexiest man on the fucking earth. What the hell are you even looking at? This isn't even funny. And I agree with The Rock. What the cinnamon toast fuck crunch is this? Because it's me, motherfuckers. It is me.
Pete?
Well, I was going to go with Joe, but now that you messed it up. But no, I think that like some of the people that might have been going with Sexy and Prince William were, you know, were doing that with the full knowledge that his full name is Prince William. Because if he was just like Bill from London.
Hello, it's probably, Bill Windsor. How yeah, are Bill you?
Windsor from London. I don't think he would have been in this list.
I think Tanya's right, though. If they would have added a question mark to the
yeah.
He'd still have gotten on there.
That's true. I mean, I think that Patrick Stewart's a very handsome man. But I think we're all forgetting Samuel L. Jackson made the term motherfucker sexy. So, I mean, you got to go with him, too.
Yeah.
Who can curse like that and go, oh, damn, that's cool.
Now, the ones that I think are sexy are older, but I've always, you know, tended to be attracted to older men. Let's see. J.K. Simmons, I find very attractive.
There's something there.
Yeah. There's something there about him. He's so intense all the time, and he's just such a great actor.
He's very nice. I took a photo. I took a photo with him.
Was he nice?
At an event.
Nice.
He was super nice.
Oh, that's good.
Because I really shyly kind of like went up to say hi. He's from Michigan, and then I didn't realize, but my friend took the photo, I saw him hold something up, and I looked at the photo. His phone case has the Detroit Tigers logo on it. So
very cool. Yeah, there's just something there with him. I mean, you know, he is older, but there's just, I don't know. I find him sexy in his own way.
Spider-Man.
And I have to go with Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis. He is
right, the original, yeah.
Man, I think. And Stanley Tucci, I had him on my list, too. Yeah. There's just something about him, too. He's just very handsome, and he's such a, you know, oh, he dresses so well. And
he's so, like, yeah. Cultured and, like, worldly.
Yeah, he's really sexy. Yeah. So those are my picks. So I believe we are ending the show tonight with the crayon sketch. Is that correct, Pete?
Yes, we are.
Crayon Day and our friend Hayes' birthday, we're going to be ending tonight's show with one of our crayon sketches. It's a fun one. So we hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Stay safe.
Maybe not, because it's April Fool's.
No, April.
Oh, I love
it. And then Danny goes like, he starts saying, he's like, well, I don't know what shade of pink she is, but if I have another shot of tequila, I'm going to be sinking it. But it turns out the name was Tickle Me Pink. Great gal, we still talk on Facebook. Anyone? This is bullshit what they're doing to you. I mean, the balls of Crayola to do this. It's not Crayola's fault. I'll just hit this up and then they will shave.
You? Not him? Who simpler than you? Goldenrod? Mellow Yellow? You show me a kid who chooses canary yellow over you, and I'll show you a kid who's gonna spend a lifetime getting their asses handed to him!
Yeah.
Oh, God! I can't believe I'm letting you go, bro! All this sadness is making me so blue.
You're actually already blue. Blue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could be bluer. God help me if I go ultramarine! Do you know how hard it is for a crayon to find Xanax in this town?
Hey, listen, I got some of the recipe on my iTunes also. What? I mean, I get teal sometimes. Look, there's no reason for y'all to be sad. I've had tons of fun with y'all. And I may not be in the 24 anymore, but we'll still be friends in the 64.
Yeah. I remember when Rick Red used to say the same thing, and sure, we made some effort at first. We made it a point to catch up. But, you know, as time goes on, you just start to realize you're just another shade between yellow and orange yellow.
Oh. That's not going to happen to us. I mean, we've been together for years.
Sure. When was the last time you spoke to Indigo?
You shut up! You know what happened with Indigo. It wasn't all my fault!
Between blue and indigo.
Okay, so what happened was blue caught indigo and mixed in with maroon, and they didn't want the purple.
Fuck you, royal purple and regal shade.
Hey, listen, guys, we have to accept the inevitable. Dandelion, you and I got a lot of history, pal. We go way back, from the coloring books to the art installations. Hell, remember that time Kelly Osbourne got drunk and almost ate us?
Oh, good times! Good times!
Good times. You know, but as they say about good times, they must come to an end. So, Dandelion, I hate to do this to you, pal, but I'm going to say goodbye to you now, and after that, I'm just going to pretend you're dead.
Damn!
Yeah, it's my only way of coping with the pain. You know, I mean, look at me for crayon's sake. I'm red! Damn it, come on! I can't be going soft over losing a color here. I mean, what do you want me to do? Turn into lavender or salmon?
That's cold, man. I'd expect that from scarlet or English vermilion, but you're red!
Hey, it's my way of coping with the pain, all right? And you all better wise up to it, too, because we're one whimsy away being thrown into the 128 box. You remember that.
I hate to admit it, guys, but Red is right. We all know our place in the box. Well, what if we thought outside the box?
Do you know what happens to crayons outside the box?
I'm just saying!
Don't just say. I've seen crayons get stepped on, even run over.
My cousin, Van Dyke Brown, he was swallowed by a golden retriever.
Did they recover him?
No! Do you know how hard it is to pick Van Dyke Brown out of dog shit? No. Hard. Real hard.
Well, when I said the thing outside the box, I mean, I didn't...
Listen, Blue.
Red is right.
Wait. I thought White was right.
Oh, Ray, you gotta stop watching all that Fox News.
Right, I'm sorry. I gotta think for that Judge Jeanine.
No, look, Red is right. We've all had a lot of laughs together, but I'm sure I'll make new friends in the 64.
Yeah, you will. Forest green, desert sand. They're a real trip!
Yeah, don't forget about denim. I mean, denim, that's a real solid color to mix with.
Oh, just stay away from fuchsia. I've heard that fuchsia likes to put her tip where it don't belong.
Well, that is not information to know for two reasons. Now, it's time for me to go on. Until we meet again, my colored friends.
Dandelion, don't say goodbye to all your friends.
Burnt sienna. Don't you have a fall leaf or fire to be coloring in?
Yeah, of course I do. When you get bumped up to the 24-pack, fall leaves can wait. Besides, it's spring and slow.
Wait. Burnt sienna. Yeah. You got the nod.
You're damn right I did. I just got the letter from Black himself. Although he did have royal purple writing. But that's just so it looks fancier.
Royal purple, you son of a bitch. Wait. Why did they bump you up to the big box when they got me?
You. Ha! Because you? You're just regular old brown. Me? I'm burnt sienna, baby!
Now you listen up here, Mr. Man! No one throws shade at my friend Brown like that!
I feel so marginalized by you!
Oh, you listen up here. You may be a new shade in town, but no one, and I mean no one, talks to my friends that way. Look, they may be solid colors, but that's exactly what they are. Solid. They're perfect. They may color inside of the lines. Or outside, if that's your preference, which is disgusting. But they're all solid colors, literally and figuratively, actually, which is odd. Now, you can throw shade all you want, but just know, these are some of the best colors that I have ever known.
Yeah.
Eat me, Dandelion.
I take one look at you, you turn yellow, which, of course, is your base color.
It is!
Now get the hell out of here. You're in my spot.
Fine!
Dandy!
Yeah, and the rest of you, if you got a problem with me, let me know.
pine green, cobalt, mahogany. Any of them can replace you, chuckle fucks. Get that shit, Ed?
Blue, what are you doing?
I don't know. Kind of sexy when he talks. Blue. Oh.